Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's Sean Ross Sapp. It is September 18th, 2024. We are 1 week away from AEW Grand Slam, and that card's looking like a Grand Slam of old is how that card is feeling. But we're here to talk AEW Dynamite for September 18th. We're here to talk about a lot of the rumors and speculation about the TV deal. If you're here, thumbs up. Tap that bell for notifications. Check out all the great interviews we have here on Fightful, including one with Paul White from Down Under the Ring, dropping on Thursday. We've got Alex Palowski here. Alex, how you doing?
Better now than I was for the first half hour of the show. That's
I wondered how you would feel about it. I have my qualms as well. We are definitely going to be talking about this. Guys, if you see this stream on Twitter or whatever, tap that retweet. We have an enormous audience that watches us on Twitter X these days. We got our great moderator, Drew, filling in for Luis today. So get your super chats and humper chats in. Ultimately, we want to talk about what you guys want to talk about. So the stuff that you guys send the most super chats and humper chats about is how we divide our time. And the stuff that you guys don't give a heck or a hoot about, we generally kind of go through quickly. But you're here right now. I want to tell you all kinds of great stuff here on this channel. If you're watching on youtube.com/Fightful, Scott Edwards did an interview with Zena that is up now. Down Under the Ring did one with Toni Storm, in which they turned her black and white as well. We had the first big interview of Bobby Stevenson, the former Damien Kemp's post NXT run. Lots of cool stuff coming that way. But FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, had a bunch of AEW news today. We do a segment over there called Select Answers now, because I understand that a lot of you can't always listen to the Q&A shows I do. So I've decided to put text-based answers out for some of those. You guys have been loving that. A lot of you were asking, like, what's Rebel's status? What's Ricky Stark's status? Fightful Select confirmed both are still under contract. Rebel's been sidelined, but she hasn't been factored into creative stuff anyway. But there is a bit of a contract update that I ran today on Fightful Select, Alex, that is a little more interesting than would normally meet the eye. Dustin Rhodes, his deal
at least through September, maybe the start of October. I'm not sure he even knows exactly when it is. But I did ask directly and was told, no new deal has been signed as of yet. This is a guy, Alex, who is particularly interesting because he holds two ROH championships, is involved in, quite frankly, the biggest cog of ROH right now. But over there on WWE, his brother is the top dog. And as we have seen in the past, Cody Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes work awfully well together, especially when you factor in that Roman Reigns guy. Those fellows had some pretty good chemistry about 10 years ago. Some of the best stuff on the show back then. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts when you saw that his deal is still coming up soon?
Well, I did think there was a very long time where Dustin Rhodes was not even on television, let alone when he was just, you know, being who sells for somebody who they want to put over. And that and at that point, any of the rest of his time in AEW, if you told me his contract's almost up soon, he hasn't re-signed, I'd be like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Now that he is not only the tag champs in ROH, but also the trios champs in ROH, it does feel like maybe now would be the time you would want him to be signed if you were AEW/ROH.
And as of now, I mean, he's worked more matches this year than he's worked since 2020, which, you know, was a year that he was factored in a little bit more. But he's at about 18 right now. I think over October, November, December, assuming he stays, I think he'll probably bypass that 25 mark that was in 2020 because he's had 18 now. And we're looking at a guy who will have worked the most matches that he's had since 2018.
Wow.
And he's still doing it. Like, I don't look at him and say, oh, he's slowed down or anything like that. He can still do that work. And there's a lot of reasons why I would want him to do the WWE thing, because I think there are a lot of genuinely great stories that could be told there. But ultimately, I want that guy to go where he's going to be happy. But as much as I actually like the ROH stuff, like, I think it makes sense to finally have Sammy with anybody else but Jericho.
Yes.
Man, sure. I would really, really love to see some of that stuff go down with Cody and Dustin. A couple of guys that, you know, I don't know a wrestling environment without Dustin Rhodes. Like, we had said that about Sting. Dustin Rhodes was also always around as well.
That's true.
But that's one to keep your eye on. Guys, we will talk about the AEW TV deal, you know, as super chats, humper chats get sent along. You can do that here at youtube.com/Fightful, or you can go over to humperchats.com. That goes a long way. Again, it lets us know what you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. So drop us one. Let us know what you're into, because I get the feeling that Alex might not be into the opening segment. Alex, Orange Cassidy defeated Chris Jericho. And I know, I knew that you were going to be upset by this. I knew that when we reviewed this show, after the time that it got, you were going to be very upset that Orange Cassidy won this match.
Oh, extremely. So listen, I really liked the finish, that it was clever. You know, heel gets hoisted by his own petard, live by the roll of quarters, die by the roll of quarters. That's all fine and good. I just don't understand why it took us the first 24 minutes of the show to get there. You know what I mean? Like, even if it was the first 14 minutes of the show, fine. But the first one quarter almost of the entire show was spent with this match, with and a feud, forgive me, that feels like they're like, we didn't know what else to do this feud about, so we resurrected the jacket thing from 5 years ago.
It just doesn't feel like it's 19 minutes, 30 seconds, and it felt every bit of it.
Wow.
Like, I give Jericho more of a leash than many. I was very excited to see him sort of transition into a trios thing. I have seen Orange Cassidy and Jericho three times before this, when it was, you know, a feud during the pandemic that was Jericho. Was he still world champion then, or close to it? Or I think he had just lost it.
He had recently lost it. Yeah.
And Orange Cassidy was on the come up. He hadn't quite hit that. Alex, the longest match they had was shorter than this match.
I did not need
this to be that long. Chi-Town versus 25 minutes, Alex. 25 minutes, what are we doing?
I mean, it was less than that bell to bell, but you got to account for entrances and everything. Like, the whole thing. Like, it basically the first quarter of the show. Like that is too long for this particular thing to take for me. But
I would have been very happy with an 11 to 12 minute match. And like, use those extra few minutes for another women's squash or something. Have Camille destroy somebody for all I care. Yeah. Like something like that. Like, I do not feel like 20 minutes was the best use of this television time right here. That's how I feel.
I wouldn't.
Now I'm also definitely, I wouldn't call myself a Jericho extremist like Alex, where I think he's completely void of value. I think that in a tag team or a trios, he can be. And that's supplementing this trios feud. But 10, 11 minutes would have been fine.
Yeah.
Would have been fine.
Again, I didn't understand what when they went through the timekeeper's table, I was like, I like that spot, by the way. Fine. I was like, double count out? Is that how we like push this another week to Grand Slam or whatever? Like, isn't on the undercard of Wrestle Dream, is it? Because I thought at that point the match had already gone a little too long for me. And yet they finally got back in, they broke the 10 count, and then they wrestled a whole other match. So it was a bit much. You know what I would love to see if this feud is going to continue, and I feel like it probably is. I want to see some Kyle O'Reilly versus Big Bill minutes, because I feel like that would be great. Just a lot of leg kicks and avoiding choke slams. That would be a lot of fun. I'd watch that for 15 minutes.
Speaking of Big Bill, he made a little appearance on the FS1 feature that they did on Tony Khan, and besides Tony Khan saying, you know, I'm lucky to be alive due to the pile driver, Big Bill goes, oh, how you doing? And Tony Khan goes, well, it was a spike pile driver. we have Tom LaValle saying, Jericho is my favorite 20 years ago. He's washed now. He's definitely not what he once was.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay to not be what he once was, because who can? And there is value there. It's just, I think it's diminishing returns when it's 20 minutes for this.
Yeah.
JP says, do you think they heard this show last week? And that's why Excalibur said that Orange did the exact amount of damage versus the using the backhoe to crush the car. I thought it was a good piece of writing. I would have loved it if last week when they had the backhoe, they dumped it and it was just a check, and the check just flew down. That's like the most Orange Cassidy thing, right?
That they come up there and you can't see what's in the backhoe. You assume it's full of coins, and then they did tip it forward, and it's just a check flips like that, and then pause, backhoe flips over the car like that. You know what I mean? Like, just like,
yeah, like Jericho could have been like, oh, that's a relief.
Oh, thank God. And then they flip over the car.
Then right? Mark Briscoe is out there and he's like, no, that would have been great. And later on, Orange Cassidy's like, you know, that's really not what I had in mind. That's a little overboard.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a segment that I loved. I mean, I would like Will or you to, I would like to see a little bit more emotion out of him, but I thought that they set this up really well. Although originally it was confusing because they said, last week. And then it showed them saying next week, which would have been this week.
This week, yes, I know.
Yes.
That was so, that was confusing.
So we had Pac, Claudio, and John Moxley, again, last week, telling Wheeler Yuta that they want him to show up next week, meaning Grand Slam.
Right, right.
Because I think that they knew this was going to air tonight.
Right.
But that's the long and short of it. But Claudio and Pac are like, you know, we're disappointed in you. Like, regardless of how you feel, we raised you better than this.
Mm-hmm.
We taught you better than this.
Yeah.
Don't disappoint us. And we see Wheeler Yuta, and I love the look back at Collision. I love that they do this because they realize maybe people got other shit to do on a Saturday night.
Right.
Besides watch our wonderful post show with Aridi and Cresta and Rick. But we see Wheeler Yuta and how he used the cattle mutilation as an homage to Bryan Danielson. And Alex Marvez catches up to him, and Wheeler Yuta is like, you know what? They did disappoint me, but I take great pride in what we accomplished. And I'll be there. I'll defend that title with them. I'll be there for it. I really, really enjoyed that. I really liked that we saw that. I could use more emotion out of Wheeler Yuta. But I like that. They're playing this up. That is a story within a story that is important to tell in Danielson's absence.
This combined with the interview that he had with Lexi at Collision, where he was coming into the arena and he just was talking and kind of trailing off, and then all of a sudden something came into his head and he unzipped his bag and he's like, I'm sorry, I forgot my boots. Like just that, there's that. I mean, people who've battled with depression will recognize where you're addled and you're not there, and you make these little mistakes. And then today, with him saying it was Wrestle Dream, but it was going to be Grand Slam, and then a staff member comes down and says, "Hey, you left your title belt in the locker room." He's like, "Oh yeah, thanks." Like, my head's not all here right now. I honestly really think this is very incredibly well done by Yuta, but a good way to show how he is processing Danielson almost being murdered in front of him by people that he considered to be friends, and certainly also friends of Danielson. But I also loved that he was definitely not there at all for the match with Anthony Henry, until Anthony Henry started talking trash about Danielson, and then he snapped the F out, started throwing bombs, and then, you know, put the cattle mutilation on him and was backing up the ref into the corner to, like, threaten the ref. This was I like that there's a switch that flips in Yuta, where he goes from being depressive to having all this rage that is being let out. So I'm really interested in how they end up actually doing this trios match that, by the end of the night, I don't think is going to be against the same team that they thought it was going to be against, unless one of them wrestles with a broken hand.
I agree. We'll talk more about that momentarily. Jambeard says, I didn't mind the match between OC and Jericho. It was good for what it was. Could have been shorter. I'd say to end the feud, do a second Mimosa match on the Collision Grand Slam. They're not ending the feud there. They are involved in a trios feud right now. So it's not ending.
No,
it's not a one-on-one feud. No, this is conglomeration and the learning tree. Yeah, that's what this is all about.
Definitely going to keep on going.
And that's why I was like, okay, of all the combinations, like, I understand. It's like, oh, we're running back this feud that was a thing a few years ago. I'm okay with that. It's just it didn't need to be that long. We also had Private Party cutting what I thought was one of their best promos.
Yes.
That has been sort of one of their criticism shortfalls, all that. And I liked how this was shot, too. It was shot differently than a lot of backstage interviews that we see. They want BCC at New York. Don't necessarily know who the partner will be. Might be Commander.
I think it was supposed to be Commander and Private Party because they're the ones that got jumped. And then the thing happened later, and I don't know what the end result of that is.
Yes. So This was fantastic. This was just wonderful. Private Party tried to jump the BCC, and we get a fantastic ass whooping. John Moxley says the quiet part out loud, says, "You guys are OGs. You were here 5 years ago, and you are exactly where you were 5 years ago. Maybe even less. You were beating the Young Bucks 5 years ago on TV. And I'm going to give you what you need, some friction, some motivation, some inspiration," and then crushes the hand. Oh, by the way, Marina Shafir throwing like these leg kicks, body kicks, all that stuff. Lord Peter saying, "I want Marina Shafir versus Private Party handicap match. Who's with me?" Marina Shafir has China vibes right now. Like she's bringing it, man.
And I
buy it. I buy everything she's doing.
There's something also so great about her being silent through the whole thing.
Yep.
Like, regardless of whether or not you feel like it's an indictment of whether or not she can cut a promo, her being the silent assassin among the entire group is chilling to watch, honestly. Great stuff.
She's fantastic. And, I mean, do I feel like the way that they had booked her previously maybe caused some people to go, she'd been on Dark and she had been on Rampage and all that stuff. And she just kind of been around. Listen, she's got the vote of confidence from John Moxley. And before that, she had been winning a lot. Like, I know a lot of people weren't watching Ring of Honor, but gosh, I can't remember the last time she lost on. I think the last time she lost was last year. I'm pretty sure. Like on a New Year's Smash, maybe she was just whooping people's asses. On ROH and Revolver, she's whipping people's asses. Like, she's beating Madman Fulton on the indies right now. Like, big dudes. So I think they're killing it right now. I think they're doing great. This kind of weaves in with the Wheeler Yuta stuff, because Wheeler Yuta isn't involved in this, but he is one of the three opponents that was supposedly supposed to face Private Party. Jordan Scott says, "The staff bringing you to his titles, he talks about how it's important to him, got me." I thought that this was one of the better woven stories. Like, as I see some things on this show and I'm like, can you use a little more story? They're really planting the seeds. They're really diving in deep and sort of braiding this one to where it has a lot of twists and turns, Alex.
We're going to hear from John Moxley, and his crew comes out minus Pac, because I think he basically works one week on, work one week off. So he wasn't here tonight, but his crew was walking through the arena. Just two guys, because Commander wasn't a part of this until later. They might have wanted to like let their third guy know they were going to do a 2-on-3 jump thing. So They just jump over the barricade, and Moxley just sidesteps and keeps walking. He completely no-sells having been ambushed, to the point where I thought it might have been like fans or something, like some crazy Bryan Danielson fan who like did that. And then I realized it was Private Party, and I was like, that's even colder, that he just completely said, "You don't matter." And then he got pissed. And then he was like, "Okay, well, now we're going to have to do all this whole thing." Claudio with the giant choke breaker. That was amazing. Marina Shafir just throwing guys around, kicks everywhere. I love taking out the toolbox and throwing everything around. Okay, this will do. Marina Shafir just intimidating Abrahantes into giving her the microphone was a great touch as well. Commander decides, "Oh, I'll know what I'll do. I'll do a suicide dive to Claudio. That'll work." No, you got beheaded by a European uppercut. And that thing where he's like, "I'm going to give you something to fight for, to fight against. Maybe you just need a little motivation."
Yeah.
So in order to get out of this rut you find yourself in. And like, that was... like, I don't know how... they hit it really well behind some lighting rig and the... but... he put everything he had into that hammer hit. Like, that was great. Marina holding the arm in place and Claudio holding everything else. Great stuff.
Don't know why that graphic popped up.
Don't know.
Don't know why that graphic popped up. Yeah, I thought they did great. The sound worked really well. You mentioned they hit it really well. Listen, I don't know about hiding it really well, but when you want to hit it really well.
You dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting? Well, don't worry about it with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It ships discreetly. Discreetly. Fortunately for you, because the mailman's going to want to know what's going on. He's going to be delivering that mail to your house. He's going to hear all these sounds. He's going to be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know, because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be because of BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Mind your own business, mailman.
We got a lot of super chats, a lot of humper chats. Jambeard says, the no-sell by John was magical. Yeah, it hits a little different when it's from Moxley. It certainly does. Jambeard says, I feel like the hammer Mox should have used should have been the bell hammer as a nod to Pac. I mean, it's so funny. He reached under. He's like, yeah, I got a toolbox. Let me just dump it out right here. And he chose the tool.
Good stuff.
He chose the tool. I'll find out if it's a working hammer or a shoot hammer. But I do like that sort of callback. Maybe like Pac just nodding along approvingly like, yeah. Vicky, our good friend, says, hi, SRS and Alex. Alex, plug your ears, please. Darby needs help. Where the hell does he get it? Wanted to thank everyone. Best $5 therapy I spend each month. Thank SRS for this forum. Well, no, thank you. I appreciate you. Hope that you're feeling a little bit better. No, things have been rough for you. I mean, the short answer is always Sting or right. Maybe Sting's kids because, right. You know, they still have Sting as a part of the family. And I mean, they could have Sting to keep others at bay, but he's losing
Marina
that match.
Shafir throwing leg kicks at the Sting Juniors is going to be a lot of fun. But here's the third thing about the end of this segment where Darby comes out to attack them.
Yeah.
I love that Mox is in there. Darby runs in, kind of blindsides Claudio with a skateboard and gets in. They circle each other. And Claudio's standing out there and Marina reaches up, stops him. Don't go in there. She smiles because she knows what Mox is doing. Mox yeah. could end Darby right now, but then he doesn't get the title shot. And also, let's give the kid a little false sense of security. Make him think that he ran us off when he did no such thing. Yeah. Like I don't know this for a fact, but it does feel like next week Mox is going to kill Darby. Now, I also believe that sets up what is likely Darby winning the world title from Jon Moxley down the line.
Quite
like,
possibly.
I feel like that is a really good setup for that eventually. But right now, it feels like Mox is getting ready for a business-like execution.
My hunch is that they probably had planned Darby to be coronated like around Wrestle Dream and like probably Danielson was like, I'd like to put Mox over. I'd like for it to be him. Somebody that, he's got.
I mean, the story of Mox, taking out Danielson to become the world champion is a really great overall story. And then if you have Darby be the one to take it off of Moxley as revenge, kind of, for what he did to Danielson, it actually means more, I think, than having Darby take it off of Danielson. It's a little cleaner that way.
Tim McFall says, what a great 90 minutes of TV. Marina Shafir kicking all the men's asses is amazing. Mox committing felonies left and right. Ricochet and Mordo's delivering match of the night until the sexiest trio ever told them to hold their beer. There were some things on this show that I'm like, could have used something different. But overall, I thought it was a pretty good storytelling show, and it accomplished a lot of things. And that's what I'm looking for out of this program. Thank you for the very generous super chat. Eric Schmidt says, absolutely love this new BCC. The mock promos are incredible. Don't get me started on Marina Shafir, looking like a hitter that the cartel loaned out for a while. She looks badass, and this role is perfect for her. Any chance Shane is involved in this? If Shane McMahon is involved with the BCC,
–
so help me God, if they get him involved with that instead of the EVP stuff. First off, here's one thing I'll tell you. Shane McMahon would love to be a part of the BCC.
Oh,
Shane McMahon.
He'd love it.
I just want to say, man, like, listen. Shane McMahon's striking coach, Phil Nurse, is legit. I've got teammates that have trained with Phil Nurse. He's legit. I get it. Shane McMahon fancies himself as a striker. I'm sure he can whoop my ass. But, I don't think they need to be going down that road. I don't think they need to be doing
Shane
that.
Shane coming in and being like, Marina, I've been watching tape of you. Let me show you. We can work on some strikes together. Let me give you a few pointers on your strikes.
So I've got a person I trained her in kickboxing years ago, and now she's a pro fighter. She's went on to done very well for herself, and it doesn't matter what training videos she posts.
Yep.
Some guy is in the comments saying, here's what you should do for your form, and you go and like that dude is just chugging Mountain Dew Code Red somewhere. That would be Shane telling Marino what to do.
Yeah.
Which kind of be entertaining to watch.
I guess.
Hook defeated JD Inc. Cool.
Yeah.
You want to squash? Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, what's that over there? Says really hope the Hurt Syndicate are taking in Private Party and Scorpio Sky. Listen, I wouldn't mind the Hurt Syndicate, who are now taking indie bookings as the Hurt Syndicate, to be doing that. But Scorpio Sky was supposed to start a thing with Private Party. I don't know where they are on that. I actually haven't watched Collision from this past week yet. I'm going to watch it tonight after this show. But I know that they had filmed a vignette and all that stuff for him, but it's been a lot of stop and start and just, now he's not here.
Yeah, they did a little thing that we know showed him getting into Private Party's private club, and then they didn't
Brandon Cutler getting in and him not allowed to be getting in.
Yes.
And I think Brandon Cutler said, how you hating from outside the club? You can't even get in. Oh, man. Renee Paquette was at the Patriarchy. I really liked this segment for completely separate reasons of the Mox element. But the Patriarchy said that Nick Wayne will start his Road to Glory on Rampage because he wants both of them to hold championships at the same time. And he really agged on Renee, who is Jon Moxley's wife, obviously. Got her to introduce him as the next AEW champion. But where I'm interested is what Eric brings up. Don't know where they're going with the Christian Kip story, but I'm really into it. I've always liked Kip. Hopefully this is something good for him. Christian quickly becoming heel of the decade. So, Kip Sabian is a guy that I've put over on this show for a long time for a number of reasons. I think he's good in the ring. I think he's got a lot of charisma. I have seen him do media, and he's very, very good. He's got a presence about him. You don't really hear him complaining about him not being used on TV, so it's clear he's a team player. But there's something about this that they have had to have had a plan for, because this has gone on for a couple months at this point, like this back and forth with him and Nick Wayne. And Christian, Christian is like a dad who thinks his son's being bullied. He's like, hey, you leave my son alone. Don't you ever talk to my son like that again. It's like he got on the school bus.
Yeah.
Went to the back, and he's like, no, kid, you leave him alone.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't care if your dad's dead. You mess with my son again, you'll end up in the dirt next to him. Where do you think this is going?
Well, I'm very intrigued as to who he wants Nick Wayne to get the title from. Because I'll tell you what I wouldn't mind is a first round of some Nick Wayne versus Will Ospreay matches.
Mm-hmm.
With Will Ospreay winning, or I guess Ricochet matches if Ricochet beats Ospreay, because I think that you could easily tell a really long, cool story of Nick Wayne over the next 5 years of his career becoming what, you know, 23, 24-year-old Ospreay and Ricochet were, and then beyond that. So I wouldn't mind that. Or is it going to be the tag team champs with Luchasaurus? I don't know. But this is interesting. I do like the idea that Because they didn't give a time limit on when he had to use that thing. So if it winds up being like Moxley takes the title off of Danielson and then Darby beats Mox for that title after a few months, you could easily see, and it would fit in really well with the full story of these two guys. You could easily see Christian cashing in on Darby, which would be a really interesting way of doing it.
Irene says, Mox destroying talent for not living up to their potential could make for an iconic Mox versus Garcia feud, having Garcia be Danielson's newest protege. I like that idea. From a creative standpoint, I do really like that idea. Here's the one issue that I have with it. At that point, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy type of thing. Mm. Like, you know, when WWE came out and they had booked things really terribly, and then they blamed Paige and Baron Corbin because they were the on-screen general managers. Like, they can only do what Tony Khan and the booking team tells them to do in that sense. Now, there are absolutely some that haven't lived up to potential, but I would love to see John Moxley sort of restart some careers. Mm. Even, and you know what? Maybe Tony goes on a media call and says, yeah, that's kind of what we're doing. We realize maybe we dropped the ball with some people and we're giving them a fresh start type of thing. Take some accountability for it. Yep. That way it doesn't look like it's on the talent all the time because, shocker, it ain't real. But that's a motivating factor. It can be very, very good when you got one of the most famous people in the company whooping your ass to light a fire underneath you. Yes. So I like that idea that Irene has.
Yeah.
Will and Kip are friends. Maybe Kip joins UE. I don't know. But I'm sort of like side-eyeing the Kip thing in a good way, in a very, very good way, because I'm interested. Jambeard says, best part of the club segment was Abaddon sitting outside the table at the club, enjoying her drink and the music. I forgot about that. I forgot about that. Oh, man. Hey, what's that over there? Says, the seeds for Nick Wayne versus Jack for the TNT title and Christian's favorite son have been planted, and I can't wait. Yeah, I mean, especially if Kip makes a real run at a title that that group held so near and dear to their heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
We have a women's tag match, Mariah May and Serena Deeb against Queen Aminata and Yuka Sakazaki. Mariah attacks Yuka with the women's title belt. You do not see this a lot. You don't see the DQ happen a lot here. Action was fine. It seems like they're trying to think of, well, what's next after this? It seemed like they had this great story for Mariah May to win the title, not so much in the follow-up. And
I wonder how much of that is that Mina had to return to Japan.
Sure, because but I mean you know that you're gonna face that.
Well, no, I don't know how.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From what I could understand, she was having matches on ROH and then she was in Japan. And yeah, it maybe their plan was to immediately heat that up, and they have to do something in the meantime before she can get back. So I liked her promo that they had her cut and showed to us. I thought that was good. I like Mariah versus Yuka Sakazaki. I think that's a really good program. That'll be fun. I love intertwining Deeb and Aminata with it as well. The stuff they've been doing on Collision is really intriguing. I really loved how Deeb was like, I think you should train with me. I think you, yeah, you're not there yet, but you have something. I'd like to harness it. You should train with me. Let me train you. And Aminata's like, I don't think so. Well, watch the professor show you how it's done. And then she went out and lost. And Aminata's, yeah, like, oh, did you show me how it's done? And that becomes their feud. And I think that's been really good on Collision. And I think that intertwining it here, Aminata's one of those you look at and you go, that woman's a future champion multiple
sure
times.
Oh,
and
man,
I love that they're elevating her to be on the level of Mariah May right now, because in a couple of years, she will be that, and they'll be elevating other women to be on her level.
This is where I think a Jericho Orange Cassidy match going 11 minutes instead of 19 mm-hmm. goes a long mm-hmm. way, because that additional mm-hmm. time could have been used to, okay, where's Deonna Purrazzo? Where's so-and-so? They don't have a story right now. Okay, have them go out there and crush somebody. I'm not just saying Deonna, just yeah. anybody. Put somebody on the roster. Bam, get them a win on Dynamite. Then whenever it's time for Mariah May to need a new contender, you've got some yeah. people that have been getting some wins there. Jambeard says, sorry, forgot Abaddon prefers they, so their drink. Yes, indeed. So we did hear from Mina afterwards, and she's basically like, money changed you. You forgot where you came from. You're not mm-hmm. the same person. Tom LaValle says, we want Mina. That's all I want to talk about. She's a very clear, like, slam dunk, got to sign her full time yeah. when available type of person. Like, I know a lot of people, like, look at the Joshi talent and, you know, Riho was a regular. They wanted Yuka to be a regular, but she kept getting hurt. A lot of people have said, well, what about Maki? Well, Mina's a little bit more, I think, the total package for like yeah. what AEW does.
Right.
And Maki is great for those cameo spots. But like, as far as talent that you're going to say, hey, you know, we would like for you to move to the United States of America and tour with us. I think that on the men's side, Takeshita was very clearly one of yeah. those. I think yeah. Mina Shirakawa is one on the women's mm-hmm. side.
Yeah.
We get technical difficulties en route to a Nigel McGuinness video. But then we see the video, and it's so good.
It's so good, man.
Here's a couple things I really like about this video. You had Mark Briscoe. You have Roderick Strong. You have baby faces. You have heels. You have people that are regarded in many different yeah. ways, speaking yeah. very frankly about just how good Nigel McGuinness was yeah. and the way that Nigel McGuinness kicked it off. He's like, you know, when enough people tell you they didn't know you were a wrestler, you start to wonder if you were yourself.
Yeah.
And then you have these very great in-ring talents saying, yeah, Bryan Danielson's the best in the world and has been for a while, but if Nigel hadn't been sidelined, probably wouldn't have been. And Nigel's very frank. He's like, I can't get back that time, but I can take a piece of it. God damn, this was good, Alex.
This is some really great, man. I know sometimes I'll use this particular adjective. This shit was Shakespearean.
Yeah.
Like two warriors in the prime of their youth, and they fought each other over and over again to a stalemate. neither one of them getting the better of another one. And then one had to leave the battlefield, and he watched the other go off and win wars everywhere, knowing, I know I'm better than him. And eventually, before they both have to hang up their armor and swords and shields for good forever, I challenge you to one final duel. Just to prove to everyone that I am your better. I mean, that is the stuff of old. Those are the stuff that, like, friggin' songs were written about this in the Middle Ages. That kind of motivation. That's some really great, like visceral type revenge. Like, it's the resentment you can feel dripping out of Nigel is just so great. The idea that you can absolutely picture the way he would have felt watching Danielson become Daniel Bryan, win the world title at WrestleMania, going, I'm better than that dude. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of thing will eat at your soul, and eventually, finally, somehow, miracle of miracles, has gotten to this, where I'm going to prove to everybody in New York City, kind of, that I am the I am the better of the two of us. It's such good stuff, man.
Their last singles match was in New York City as well.
That was great.
Nigel, I think, was 3-8-2 against Danielson one-on-one. They went to not just in ROH, which what we saw, but I mean they went to 60-minute time limit draws.
Yeah.
At armories. We're not talking about Arthur Ashe or big stadiums. They were doing it to do it, man. That's what they were all about. I mean, they overseas, they had incredible matches. Japan, when ROH went to Japan, they had a great match over in the UK. These two guys were competing all across the world. Australia, even. So as I'm thinking about it, they, like, four different continents that I know of that these two guys had bangers on during that period. I am going next week. I will not be here next week, but you know, weather permitting, it's going to rain all week. But I am so excited to watch this match. I cannot wait to see this. This is outstanding.
Yep.
Hey, what's that over there? It says picks on who accepts the trio's open challenge. My pick is House of Black. There's a legitimate argument to be made that Nigel should have had the Bryan career. Hope we get Joe and Nigel. If they want to do a big surprise, Hurt Syndicate would be cool. Yeah. But House of Black would be, you know, that would be high level. Sorry, I've got the hiccups, guys. Yeah. Anybody you're looking at?
Well, House of Black makes sense because they have two separate trios who have, like, said, we're coming after House of Black. So, like, House of Black getting that thing, then you would have immediate people to challenge them if they were to win it. And the only way I think that you know, the BCC loses is if somehow, like, Wheeler on purpose costs them the titles because you don't deserve to have these belts because of this. You know what I mean? In that kind of way. But I think that works in a lot of different ways. It would be great to see the Hurt Syndicate come out. That'd be an awesome way to do, especially kind of like backing up Private Party would be a kind of a cool way too, to, like, kind of say these kids are with us. Like, there could be a cool way of doing that, too. And, yes, I think it would be awesome if we could figure out a way to get a Samoa Joe versus Nigel match, but I don't know that that's in the cards.
Yeah. Listen, at this point, just have it as an attraction, assuming this one goes well. Because, again, we don't know how Nigel will perform in there, hopefully incredibly. But, yeah, House of Black seems like the common sense one. Hey, what's that over there? But, yeah. Joe versus Nigel, that's one where I bet Joe said something very interesting recently. He said he wants to have matches that fans want. He don't care. He doesn't care about what he wants.
Right.
He's like, it's a fan service industry. So I think if fans want it enough, we're going to get that. As far like some other trios, I'm going to pull up the AEW since this person spent quite a bit. The AEW roster that we have listed here. And the trios ain't doing so hot these days.
I mean,
it ain't going to be the learning tree.
I wouldn't mind Bang Bang Gang because they're fun and they're baby faces against BCC. Yeah. That could be a lot of fun. It all depends to me on if you want BCC to crush somebody. You know what I mean? Even without, Yuta doesn't even have to tag in. That'd be a really interesting thing that they are so derisive to him. They won't even tag in Yuta and they'll still beat whoever they face.
Yeah.
That's a story they could do. Or if they lose, then you got to pick the right team to be the champs now. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of give and take there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what's going to happen if it's not Bang Bang Gang or House of Black or the team that we know of, or the team that we speculate maybe hurt Syndicate. Jambeard says, Alex, to further your point about Nigel, he was in WWE when Brian became world champ now, and the same thing has happened in AEW. Yeah. That it has. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We also had a Jack Perry video. Mm-hmm. Conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. Do you think that CM Punk rolled up to WWE? You do?
Yes, why not? Yes, sure. It makes zero sense otherwise.
I agree. Listen, I agree. And it's one of those things where, listen, almost every conspiracy theory that I hear in any capacity, I'm like, get out of here.
Yeah.
But I saw that and I was like, okay, why would CM Punk just stroll up, leave the door open, then go back and I was like, okay. But Zach says, ever since your Monday conversation with Denise, I want a single camera shot for Jack Perry where he pulls in his bus. The camera follows him to the ring. He whips some ass and a squash back to the bus and drive away. One shot, 4 minutes. I would love that. I would love it if they
had really
one
cool
camera angle.
One camera the whole time.
During the match even. Like,
yeah.
You don't cut to a hard camera.
No. Like, there's lots of times you have, you know, like the local talent who comes out there and they're all cocky. And one running knee finishes it. The match can last 15 seconds, if that. And then you walked right back to the thing. That'd be good.
Michael Murphy, for those confused. So Jack Perry drives up in his little bus, mm-hmm. leaves the door open, goes to the ring, has his
match. With it running.
Then he gets, and leaves. And Punk did that same thing and then went back.
Yeah, he dropped off his rental car with no valet, left the door open with it running, and just kept walking to the arena. So
Zach Schimmel, great friend of the show, says, any updates on injuries lately, specifically Omega, Cole, Juliet, Jay? Juliet had to have surgery. Jay White was at AEW Dynamite before All In. It was the week before that to get checked on, and he still wasn't cleared. They had hoped that he would be there for the casino. He was not ready yet. So that was a little bit the person who had told us that he was getting closer to return, a little too optimistic on that.
Yeah.
They clarified, his reps clarified to us he wasn't ready yet. Omega, I know that it was important to him to get back into ring shape. And Adam Cole was set to resume training the week of All In, I believe.
Okay.
What if you had BCC versus the Conglomeration? Who would Yuta choose as his mentor, Mox, Claudio, or Orange Cassidy? I honestly think that would be very
good.
That'd
be a cool story, too.
I think that would be good. And
but
of course,
the Conglomeration is not getting out of the Jericho Vortex, so it's
well,
all
they're not. Point. Jericho would cost them that match, for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
And it would make sense for him to cost that match, for sure. I'll tell you what else makes sense, my friends. Nord. There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful. Guys, you are going to want to check out NordVPN.com/Fightful. Fightful. A trick that I mentioned today that actually Denise told me about can save on Sunday ticket because you can just change your virtual location to wherever the local games are that you want to watch and watch that way, which is nice. Very handy where you want to save hundreds of dollars.
Hundreds of dollars, yes. But then you don't get the red zone. You got to have the red zone. I don't know. I don't watch football anymore.
I watch red zone other ways with NordVPN.com/Fightful. But guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Ricochet defeated the Beast Mortos. There were just some really fun ass spots here. Like a good body slam off the top rope goes a long way.
Yeah.
My only qualms that I'm seeing a lot in American wrestling these days are when somebody does a go behind, they will like shove the person and that person will hit the ropes really hard. Mm. And I'm like, it's like a light shove. I just want to see some more effort put into that. That's my only complaint about what we saw here. This kicked ass. We'll talk about the promo afterwards.
Yeah.
But what I have been begging for in American wrestling, especially, give people wins before they challenge for titles. That's all I want. I'm glad they're Sami Zayn beating Ludwig Kaiser next week. Ricochet, who says, getting those wins up. He got that win up with the Beast Mortos. And I wasn't sure that they would have Mortos signed to AEW, but it's very clear Tony likes him an awful lot. This should have kicked off the show.
Yeah. I think they wanted it to dovetail into Ospreay's match, and I get why, kind of him like not being able to like go after Ricochet and be like, hey man, what's up with this? Where's all this hostility coming from? Because he had to go out and wrestle a match. I kind of like that reasoning there. However, you want to like fast paced, like this is why almost every good episode of Nitro had the cruiserweights kick the whole thing off. Like 8.5 minutes of a sprint between two guys who were just absolutely trying to out-hustle each other. And it was always a lot of fun. Do that with these two guys, it's great. One of the things I wanted to highlight was even when these guys weren't on the same page, they figured out a way to fix it immediately. Like Ricochet wanted to do some kind of crazy thing out to the outside and land on Mortos' shoulders. But somehow like it didn't land right because of the headpiece. Kind of knocked him off to the side. And so, no, I'm going to pick you up. We're going to go up into the powerbomb position. Code red. Like, it was just these guys had a really great way of, okay, that didn't work out right. But now we are communicating telepathically. And now, you know, we get to watch fun stuff like a Minotaur taking a Crucifix bomb that, like, would have killed any normal man. This was so much fun. Ricochet is getting to be the guy we all knew he was and was so rarely able to show us. And
that's what Zach Schimmel says. Without the chains is phenomenal. And admittedly, I was like, all right, he's 36 years old. Like, of course, he was able to do things that nobody else could do. I was like, is he still able? Yeah, he's still able. Yeah, he certainly is. Yeah, yes. He's a freak of nature. And a thing that I had mentioned before, he's facing smaller wrestlers now. You're going to see him utilize his strength a lot more.
Yes.
And I'll tell you guys something that AEW does really well that Dano actually brings up. It says, Beast Mortos is the best base in wrestling.
Yeah.
I think he's one of two of them. I think El Gringo Loco is also one of the best bases in wrestling, mm-hmm. and that's who they had work in Hologram. So, yeah. I mean, listen, guys, it's – occasionally you'll see somebody who is not as experienced in the ring and they'll post the training footage, right? Mm-hmm. There'll be some great base that's like doing it. And you'll see these wrestlers and they'll do like these insane, like rope walk, Karakinranas and head scissors. People will be like, man, look what they can do. It's because their base is helping them so much. Yeah. It's the equivalent of watching Ben Simmons putting up 3-pointers in the off season. But when you get Gringo Loco and the Beast Mortos in the ring actively, buddy, I could run up there and do that stuff.
Yes, it's true.
So I can't even imagine the psychotic shit that Hologram and Ricochet cook up in their heads Fortunately, yeah. We've seen some of it. But I love this super chat shouting out how good of a base it is, because that cannot be understated. Cannot be understated.
Yeah.
Any guesses for the tag team Stokely is scouting for? I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm just talking because it's Stokely. I love the idea of him watching all these old film of all the top tag teams. Then he's got one in mind. He's going to try and bring out to do that. The team that like just feels very Stokely-esque to me is doing stuff in ROH right now, which is EJ Nuduka and Lee Johnson.
Yeah.
They feel very Stokely-esque to me, you know?
Hey, what's that over there? Says, any news on Bandido? And Arthur Ashe is like 20 minutes from my house. I want to go, but won't be able to get out of work. Hope you have a great time at the show, Sean. Hey, I hope I see some of you all there. I'll be there. I know Kate will be there. Our good friend John Alba will be there. Good friend Kimmy will be there. So excited to see a lot of good friends. But if you are in that area, come say hi to me. Would love to meet some of you guys. I have been asking about Bandido for like a year.
That's rough, man. We haven't seen him in forever.
I know. I forgot it had been so long. But I will work on it. I'm sorry. I wish I could give you more for your super chat. I just don't have the answer. Hangman Adam Page says he is driven by something new. He'll have whatever he wants. And he says he is not going to forget the people that protected Swerve and that supported him, because they need to be dealt with too. Mm-hmm. And he said one of those voices that he heard came from commentary, and it happened to be Tony Schiavone. Mm-hmm. Jeff Jarrett made the save, and they are definitely milking what they got out of Jeff Jarrett being over right now. They are. He and Hangman brawled, and Jarrett said if it's the last thing he does in his career, it will be kick Hangman's ass. I know you are not nearly as high on Jeff Jarrett as I am.
No, this is a great role for him to get his ass absolutely destroyed by Hangman Page, to put over how vicious and like it's great. And also that little the last thing I do in my career, like, I don't know how much longer he wants to keep doing this, but if the angle is like Hangman writes him off for good because of how bad he beats him up, like, he's gotten a lot of goodwill from people who are not me recently, so that people that would be really sad to see that happen to Jeff Jarrett, which I think really works. Also, like, if you look at all of the thing that Hangman is doing through the filter of, you wanted me to be the bad guy, I'm going to be the bad guy. Like, that thing, the way that people cheered for how he took out Swerve, they were going, cowboy shit. At the end of that match, he, like, where he has kind of flipped this switch of, I am the bad guy now. You wanted me to be the bad guy? I'm going to show you how bad I can be. Like, the fact that he says, I'm going to threaten poor Tony Schiavone to get somebody to come out and challenge me because I need to be the bad guy now. That's a really cool motivation for a character.
Well, first off, I want Jeff Jarrett to wrestle until the 2040s so he can hit the 7 decades. I want him to wrestle until the 2050s so he can be the first to hit 8 decades.
He certainly could. He certainly could.
And again, he can apply a figure four, and that's a wrap. Yeah. Dory Funk's still out there doing it. But I like this because Jeff Jarrett is very clearly going to lose, but Jeff Jarrett can also have a very entertaining TV hardcore match.
Right.
And in order for Jeff Jarrett to finish his story, he doesn't have to win a match. He just has to really screw over Hangman at some point. And Hangman does not realize that what he has created is what Swerve created in him.
Right.
He is becoming such a hypocrite. He is getting in a woman's face. He's doing so many of those things. So what we're seeing is Hangman, who was a babyface, let his self-righteousness blind him.
Right.
To where he's like, you know, everybody says rise above. No, I'm going to burn a house down. I'm going to get in this woman's face. I'm going to attack this senior citizen. I'm going to attack an announcer.
One of the things that he cited over and over again was that the fans chose Swerve over me. And so maybe Like, there's this weird thing of, like, they again, they were chanting for him after what he did to Swerve, which was brutal and was intended to be so. Maybe part of what he's doing is being like, this is how I will get them to love me again, is to be this horrible thing. That's what they got. So, like, there's this weird thing of how much does he hates himself, but he needs them to love him. There's some really, really cool dark motivations at work in Hangman Page. I love it.
R. Simmons says, great match between Ricochet and Beast. Mortos was surprised by the promo as well. Ricochet felt like a real person. Love the little bro part. Can't believe they didn't utilize him in WWE. So let's talk about that. Ricochet meets up with Ospreay backstage. And I feel like he did repeat himself a couple times, but even beyond that, I'm like, this was passion. This felt real. Yeah. This was a lot of what I have asked about for Ricochet for a long time. It wasn't as much the in-ring stuff. It was the presentation of Ricochet. Because when WWE had him originally, he was like, oh, man, I know that it's sometimes hard to believe, but, you know, if you just try hard enough and you believe superheroes, they do exist. Alex, I'm obnoxious now. Yeah. Do you know how insufferable I would be if I could do a fraction of what Ricochet was physically capable of? You would never hear the end of it. Yeah. I would just be, I'd be flipping off a shit just to do it. He needs to know he's as good as he is. That's one of the reasons Leo Rush connects with me so well, both on a personal level and a presentation level. That man knows exactly how good he is at everything. Yes. And I love seeing that out of Ricochet. We're getting this on the 5-year Dynamite. I like them doing it on the 5-year Dynamite too. I thought they would do it on Wrestle Dream or something like that. Yeah. But no, you are putting together a TV show for the thing that you're about to get $170 million a year for. Yeah. Put some big ass matches on there.
Like I think because, well, listen, they have a pattern of doing this, so let's not act like they don't. This easily could end up in whatever kind of time limit draw or whatever, and they have to run it back at Wrestle Dream. Like, I mean, that certainly could be a thing. Like, you know, oh well, nothing was settled with this particular, you know, whatever happened. We could easily do that. I love that they're saying, okay, well, 5 years since the beginning of Dynamite, here's two guys who weren't here for that. Here's two guys who are going to lead the next 5 years. Like, that's actually kind of a little poetic choice to say, like, here's the next 5 years of Dynamite starting now. I think that absolutely a rivalry like Ospreay versus Ricochet could be one of the overarching stories of the next 5 years of Dynamite.
Thought this was executed wonderfully well. And I'll say this, Ospreay's demeanor really matches how he is. Like, he's grown as a person, and he was like, if he were in that situation, he'd probably be like, you know what? I probably came off a little aggressive. My bad.
Yeah.
Any news on Daniel Garcia? I have not been told that he's re-signed yet. No Brit in PA is odd. I haven't heard of her being on creative or any plans for her as of now.
Yeah.
Jam Beard says, honestly, the C2 put Soup, Fletch, Ricochet, Hologram, Mortos, BK, Big Bill, Black, put guys that are young or ready for the singles push. I mean, listen, after they split up the titles, I was like, all as great as the Continental Classic was, I was like, aw, okay. And then when they just didn't defend that title for a long time, I was like, well, that's a bummer.
Well, yeah.
Then Eddie Kingston, the guy who won it, was supposed to defend it. He's not in it. I'm like, damn, man. Like, I think they really need to reestablish this year as opposed to, here's another title, another one. Mm-hmm. I think it's important.
The C2 was some of the best programming they've had.
It's great.
And so they got to do it again because it was so good the first time. But the key lies in how you book the tournament, who wins the title, and then you put it on somebody that is going to defend it more often than Okada is, because that's not enough. And I get why the character of Okada doesn't defend the title very often. It's part of the elite deal. But put it on somebody, if it winds up being Takeshita, who wants to prove himself and takes on all comers, that could be a lot of fun. Like Takeshita basically becoming like the absolute give no F's tweener would be a really great role for him as a guy who just doesn't matter who he fights because he knows he's the best. There's a lot of really cool stuff you could do that.
Will Ospreay, Kyle Fletcher, and Takeshita defeated the Elite. And it ends with Kyle Fletcher picking up the win. And I think that is crucial.
Yeah.
AEW has had so many people that are very clearly future top stars. Among them have been Jade Cargill, Ricky Starks, Daniel Garcia. Jade Cargill had the bricks. Ricky Starks ain't on TV. Daniel Garcia, we don't know what he's doing. Miro's chilling at home. He was a guy a lot of people saw as a top guy. To me, if they are perceived as an eventual top guy, you should probably get started on him right now.
Yeah.
Right now. Reload now.
Yep.
Of course, the in-ring is great. The way that the Elite syncs up is very, very entertaining. Loved the double stomp into the powerbomb spot as well, but Kyle Fletcher getting this win, I think, is very important.
Yeah, no, Kyle Fletcher's incredibly, you can tell right now, he's super special. The same way you can tell that Takeshita is super special. And I love right now that they're doing two things with Takeshita. One, he really wants to prove to Okada he's the greatest Japanese wrestler of all time. You could tell it. He's like, nope, I'm better than you. I'm better than you ever were. I'm going to beat you for that title. Also, Will Ospreay, I have no time for you. You aren't on my level. Yeah, you beat me that one time. It was a fluke. If I wanted that title off of you, I would take it off of you. But right now, I want that. Like, there's this really cool, like, absolute above-it-all disdain that, without being a heel about it, that Takeshita has for everybody. None of you are on my level. Like, when Fletcher's out there just trying to give him, to dap him up, and Takeshita won't make eye contact with him, won't even turn his head, leaves him hanging at the top of the ramp. That is the kind of dude that Takeshita can be. Just so damn cool. Effortlessly cold. Really, really great stuff from Takeshita. I love it.
Great main event. I'm liking them doing undercard trios matches, like I've mentioned before. We're starting to see a little bit more of it out of the tag team division. We're seeing MXM get over. We're seeing the Outrunners get over. They're involved in an all-star 10-man tag.
Yeah.
Like everybody's an all-star now, but
yeah,
we're starting to see tag teams and trios getting the undercard type of booking. I would like to see a little bit more out of the women as well on shows like this, but pretty solid Dynamite. I will be at Grand Slam next week. May try to call in. I will also be, Phil Lindsay is filling in for me on Monday's post-Raw show with Denise. But we got scoops happening all week on Fightful Select. Spoiler, guys, that's one of the reasons I go there is to get some of those little scoopity scoops. Mm-hmm. But FightfulSelect.com, please, if you guys don't mind, subscribe. Quite frankly, the more of you that subscribe, the lower we can keep our prices there. I got a notification today that Disney was raising its price, and I'm like, damn, we have not increased that Fightful Select price once yet.
Not once.
And I've been fighting it, guys. Jimmy's tried to get me to. Mm-hmm. But I'm fighting for you guys, by God. Jambeard says, FT Route Runner Hook. Now, FTR Outrunner Hook, or
FT Runner?
Does FTR run routes? Routes?
Oh, that might be interesting. Yeah.
And get catch touchdown passes.
Could be. That could be it.
Alex, tell the people what you got.
You can find me over on Fightful Select several days a week. Reviewing Raw. Then back over here on this YouTube channel, reviewing NXT. And then over on Fridays, we'll do a Rampage watch-along while talking about SmackDown. We have a lot of fun over there.
Trout Runner. Maybe they're fishermen.
Trout Runner. Could be. That could be it. Last week, we reviewed... I completely forgot now what we reviewed.
Nothing.
I don't know. I don't know what it was. But next thing we're gonna you'll like this. The next thing we were gonna review, movie we're gonna review, Kate and I, is Wrong Side of Town with RVD and Dave Bautista. We reviewed Money Plane last week.
Oh boy.
The next time we do one of these things, we're gonna review Wrong Side of Town.
Dave Bautista talked about Wrong Side of Town in his recent Chris Van Vliet interview.
Okay.
He said that he did the movie and he said, shit, I am a terrible actor, and realized that he needed to do better.
It's not as bad as RVD.
I just want to tell you, did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it.
I will be seated. I will be watching this. I rented that from Redbox, bro.
Wow.
That's when it happened.
Wow.
Viscera was in the movie.
Yes, he was. Viscera was in the movie. Yes, he was.
And the fabled Pick a Hand story in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know about that story, right?
I remember something about it.
Allegedly, he told Taz, pick a hand, and then Taz picked one and he punched him. Mm-hmm. And it made it into the movie. Oh, it's such a horrible movie. Have you ever watched Southland Tales?
I have, many, many, many years ago when it first came out.
That's a two-parter, but
that is a two-parter. Yeah,
both. I'll say this: I looked at the TV the exact same way after watching both of those movies for way different reasons. Guys, thank you all so much. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I can't tell you how important that is to us. We're out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.